I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In immigration jails throughout the country, more than 1,000 immigrant detainees have tested positive for the coronavirus, of just 2,000 tests administered. 2 weeks ago, the first person in ICE custody died in California. As the positive coronavirus cases continue to climb among the 27,000 people held in county jails and private prisons on immigration violations, advocates and attorneys are demanding all ICE detainees be freed from these facilities, citing unhealthy and crowded conditions. At the Elizabeth Contract Detention Center in New Jersey, so far 18 immigrants have tested positive for COVID-19, and one corrections officer employed by the company CoreCivic, which runs the jail, died last week. A new lawsuit is demanding the release of the 114 people detained there. And over the weekend, healthcare workers organized a 24-hour vigil and protest at the facility, pushing for detained immigrants to be freed. Marie DeLuca was at that vigil. Marie is an emergency medicine doctor and an organizer with Doctors for Camp Closure. She joins us now to discuss what she has heard about conditions in ICE detention and about her activism. Marie, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Marie, you're a doctor working on the front lines, fighting this pandemic in emergency rooms in New York City. Given how much you're dealing with already, what prompted you to spend 24 hours protesting at an ICE facility?
As you say, there have been a lot of cases of COVID-19 in detention. I have been working in New York City. I work in the emergency department. And in the last several months, I've taken care of hundreds of people with COVID-19. I've taken care of families who came in where I would treat one family member, and a few hours later, another person would come in from that family who had to be placed on a ventilator. This was one of the most difficult periods of time for me as a physician. And knowing that there are people who are in immigration detention and are contracting COVID-19 and are unable to socially distance and unable to access proper hygiene materials like soap, I'm very, very concerned. So we decided to hold this vigil, and actually several vigils across the country, to draw attention to our concerns, to draw attention to the conditions inside these detention facilities, and to demand that people be released for the safety of those inside and for the safety of all the communities surrounding the detention facilities.
I've been reporting on conditions inside ICE facilities, and I've seen that the guards, the corrections officers, are the ones that appear to get sicker at a higher rate than the detainees. So that seems to back up what you're saying.
Yes, I mean, any situation where there are people in close quarters together is going to put all of those people at risk of contracting this virus. And we're seeing that about 50% of the people that ICE has tested who are in their detention facilities have COVID-19. That's a very high rate. That's deeply concerning. And that's just among people who they've tested. We know that they've reported 18 cases in the Elizabeth Detention Center, but we also know that COVID-19 occurs in people who don't have symptoms, that not everyone who has symptoms gets tested. So we're concerned that that number is actually a significant underestimate of the number of people who are ill there.
So all of this is why you went to the Elizabeth Detention Center in New Jersey over the weekend and held this vigil. What was that like? What was it like doing this form of protest, given everything that's going on with the pandemic and then given social distancing rules?
In terms of social distancing rules, we made sure to have a small group of people present and maintain a 6-foot distance between all of us at all times. Everyone wore masks. We're very conscious of safety for this vigil. In terms of the experience for people participating, I think this was a very meaningful and very difficult experience for those who were at the vigil. Certainly, staying up for 24 hours is something that medical professionals do for their work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at some point in their training or during their work, doctors often do 24-hour shifts. I know I did 24-hour shifts when I was in training. That was part of the motivation for picking this style of demonstration or protest. It was a space that was filled with a lot of grief and a lot of sadness. We had a chance to speak with someone who is detained in the Elizabeth Detention Center and hear that person's words, hear about that person's experiences inside, their fear, their uncertainty, but also we heard about their hope, knowing that there were people who are advocating for them. We connected and collaborated with First Friends New Jersey and New York for this vigil, and they have been doing really incredible work to connect with people in the detention facility, to provide those people with support, to connect with their families. And that work is something that's incredibly meaningful and incredibly important, especially for people who are in detention who often don't have a lot of chances to advocate for themselves.
Marie, tell us about your day-to-day work as a doctor. What have you been doing during the COVID-19 crisis?
During the crisis, I've been taking care of patients. The conditions in the emergency departments in New York City have improved over the last couple of weeks, largely, I think, as a result of the social distancing that all of us living in New York City have been practicing. Before that happened, it was very difficult. We had situations where it was very difficult to care for all the people who had come into the emergency department because there were more people than we had ever seen in that emergency department. I work in two hospitals, and there was a tremendous mobilization of resources and effort and energy by everybody who works in those facilities. But even with that mobilization, this was a very, very difficult time.
I can imagine. I'm just curious how you've been balancing all of that work, which must take a tremendous physical and emotional toll, with your activism.
I think that one of the things that a lot of us realize as healthcare workers is that our jobs extend beyond the walls of the hospital. And in an emergency department, I see often the end result of many social inequalities, many forces that go beyond heart attacks and strokes, and really extend out into how we provide care to people throughout their lives. So, for example, when I was training in emergency medicine, I trained in Detroit. And I took care of many patients who had never had access to a primary care doctor. As a result, I saw people who had developed kidney failure from high blood pressure at a very young age. I saw people having strokes from uncontrolled high blood pressure, again, at a very young age. And when you see that over and over again, it becomes impossible to ignore what's happening outside of the emergency department. And that motivates us to take action.
You said us. Have you seen a growing trend of healthcare workers becoming involved in activism like this? Not just with immigration detention issues, but maybe other issues as well?
Absolutely. There's a long history of healthcare workers being involved in public health advocacy. But especially in, you know, the last couple of years, I think we have seen an increase in people taking a stand and being willing to put themselves out there to advocate. I personally have found that over the last several months, since we started Doctors for Camp Closure, I've met many doctors and healthcare workers who are very dedicated to the cause of public health and are willing to take risks for themselves in order to support and advocate for their patients.
You see it as an extension of the work you do every day.
Absolutely.
Just one last question. Do you think doctors becoming more involved in politics could make meaningful change in these areas that you're concerned about in a way that maybe people from other professions are unable to do?
I think seeing doctors involved in advocating for these issues is important because we have a unique lens. We have a opportunity through our work to see people's experiences of grief and loss and suffering at a very close and personal level. And I think because of that, we have a responsibility to speak out about what we see and to try to change the systems that create so much grief and so much loss and so much trauma. I also think that one of our goals is to advocate for the people who are most affected by this. And I want to underscore that there have been people who have been working for decades, people who are part of these affected communities who have been doing amazing organizing and work for many, many years around these issues. And so we can't do the advocating that we're doing without the work that they've done. So going forward, we want to do whatever we can to support that important work that's being done. And if bringing our lens, bringing our experiences and what we've witnessed can do that, then we're very glad to be able to support that work.
Marie DeLuca is an emergency medicine doctor and an organizer with Doctors for Camp Closure. Marie, thanks for your time and thanks for your hard work on the front lines.
Thank you.
We reached out to ICE, and although they told us they can't comment on pending litigation, they pointed us to their website, saying ICE reviews CDC guidance daily and continues to update protocols to remain consistent with CDC guidance. In a statement, CoreCivic said they have responded to this unprecedented situation appropriately, thoroughly, and with care for the safety and well-being of those entrusted to us and our communities. You can find the entirety of their statements online at thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.